Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for today's show, we will be discussing blessings in disguise when hard things happen for a good reason. Please feel free to participate or to just listen. And with that said, let me introduce my co-host, Kat Edwards. Hi, Kat. How are you today?
Hello. I'm good, thank you. Good to be back.
Good. It's good to have you back. Yeah. We apologize for not doing shows the last 2 weeks, but things happen in life's sacred journey that we sometimes aren't always prepared for, and we need to roll with the punches. So,
yes, absolutely.
We're here. Yeah, yeah. It's that old expression, going with the flow. And, you know, what you resist persists, and when you go with the flow, things seem to work out a little bit more comfortably.
Yes, I agree. Sometimes going with the flow can be frightening, but if you hold fast and true, you're more likely to get through and to see the way to navigate it through so that you succeed or you get a better outcome than you would if you were just to, you know, respond blindly or react blindly, I should say.
Well, you really need to turn it over and have faith that it's going to have a good result, a positive result. And certainly when you've had that experience a few times, it gets easier to not have fear connected to it. So anyhow, that
yes,
would be
I
a
agree
good
with
topic.
That.
Yeah, that would be a good topic for next week. What do you think?
Yeah, well, it's quite a relevant one for a lot of people, especially with all these mandates that are going on and things that are happening that are out of people's control to some degree.
Yeah, right.
Affecting livelihoods and affecting people's pathways. Yeah.
Well, I don't think we've used that topic before, have we?
Time. No, I don't think we have.
All right. Shall we do it?
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, you brought up a very interesting topic for today. I'll be interested in what you have to say. And I think that I primarily will be talking about things that have happened to me that have felt very difficult going through them and have seemed bad. And there's always been a good reason and a silver lining, and so I'm going to turn it over to you to talk about what made you bring up the topic and be interested in hearing what you have to share.
Well, I'll be honest and I'll tell you that I forget why.
That's all right.
I did have a good
That's
reason
right.
for it. But I, so much happened in my life since I brought up that topic. I don't know why I brought it up. But, but a blessing in disguise that comes out of something that's quite difficult is, for those who don't understand that, it's usually a misfortune that turns out to have advantages to you. That in my life experience, blessing in disguise, They tend to occur when you're at a crossroads and you don't really know it, and life concocts a pathway that will prevent you. I should say that again. Life concocts a situation that prevents you from continuing down a certain path, and it forces you into a new situation. When you're in the middle of it, you may not know that there is good to come, and it can seem quite horrible. But if you embrace the fact that it's happening, you're going to get to that good situation one way or another, because this particular issue has silver lining. So it's a blessed issue. So it's like the universe puts a halt on the momentum, and that it halt is a bit of a jolt. You know, it's an abrupt stop, and that abrupt stop can be painful, but it's so that you can be turned around and put into a new direction. So I tend to hope that any bad stuff that happens in my life will turn out to be a blessing in disguise. That way I stay positive in my mindset in regards to things that happen. And even if I have a massive emotional reaction to something, I allow myself to go through the emotional reaction. At the same time, my rational mind is thinking about foresight. What's going to happen if I continue down this path? What's going to happen if I have to change path? What's going to happen if I change path and things don't work out? What's going to happen if I change paths and I do and things do work out? So I want to look into advantages and disadvantages, possibilities and circumstances that are coming ahead before I decide to have a doom and gloom response to an issue that's in my life. And I'm coming across quite a massive one at the moment, which I don't feel that I can really talk about publicly just yet. But I did have a massive emotional response to it last night. And it involves a big anxiety attack. And that is because of the build-up to the feeling, to the circumstances, because I've known it was coming for quite a while. And I have been in a very uncomfortable position for quite a while, and now it's here. And as I had that emotional response, I allowed that like a freight train to go through me, and I began the rational mind process of looking at the foresight around it. And I feel like that is the way to go, because it keeps me mentally in control. I do not lose my mental control, which is the most important control to have. And it also means that I can tactfully play the game. And that means that the advantageous outcome will be greater than if I was to stumble through, which I have done in the past, and that's why I've learned to deal with it in this manner. How about you, David? How do you feel? I mean, now you're in your 60s. You've been through life a few times, and so you've learned your lesson. Do you find that you deal with situations like this, or how do you go about it if you find yourself in a situation like this?
Well, I'm going through a situation now, and I'm not fearful of it, because I've been through some very trying situations in the past, and have come out the other side for the better. But it's taken me several times going through the hard lessons and things that have happened to be in a place where I can have faith that all is well and that all will be well. I'm thinking about a few things that have happened that I can talk about. One of them was being confronted by a former partner about my sexual addiction. And I was told that I needed to go to couples therapy or the relationship would be ended. And that instilled a lot of fear in me because I didn't want to make myself vulnerable. I knew I would have to go back to a program that had worked for me in the past, but I had a lot of anxiety on whether or not I'd be able to do it again. But I did do it again, and it was difficult. There were challenges along the way, and I got through it. I came out the other side, and for a long period of time, I found myself sexually sober. Now, the really biggie for me was 17 years ago. I went through at least 8 major life stressors in the course of 8 months. And I think I'll indicate what all of them were and then how I got to the other side. I lost my best friend to cancer, and I cared for him right up through his death. I lost both of my dogs within the course of 3 months apart. I received a life-threatening diagnosis. I broke up with my former partner. I purchased a new home, which involved a big move for me. I took off a long weekend from work to accomplish the move and never returned to work again because of illness. And I took up with a new life partner, my current husband, and had an instant mother-in-law for a reason that is inconsequential. It was related to my becoming ill. I had invited her to dinner one night when I shouldn't have been driving, and I could not drive her home. And my partner at the time didn't have a driver's license, so she was kind of stuck. And so there were a lot of things, but the blessing was this. Excuse me. I had a very stressful job as an adult protective case manager, and it was exacerbating things that were happening to me physically and mentally. And I was not able to return to that, which upset me at the time, but it was a blessing because it removed me from a very stressful situation, from a job that had some satisfaction but really didn't involve a passion of mine. And I came to start writing books, and I've written about 30 books. And so I embarked on a new career that was very satisfying to me, very fulfilling. And I'm here today to tell the tale because I did not die, obviously. So I have a lot of gratitude for that. And what I'm going through now, I also don't feel comfortable discussing it for personal reasons. It involves another person. But it's a possibly very difficult life transition. And I don't have much anxiety about it because I know I will get through it for better or for worse, and I don't think it will be for worse other than that it might involve some pain. But I have faith that all will be well and all is well, even as I'm going through something that feels uncomfortable. I have a tool belt today. I have a support system that is wonderful. I have incredibly close friends, and Kat, I count you amongst those. I have my health. I have a new home that I'm going to be moving to, and that's exciting to me, although that's providing a good deal of anxiety at present, trying to figure out how I'm going to do everything. But it's getting done slowly but surely with a little help from my friends. So that's where I'm at today. Those are some of the places I've been in the past, and there have been several other things that I've gone through that have felt horrible. But the silver lining has been that it's either been a wake-up call to make some more positive changes in my life. It's been a situation that's brought me to a better place. I guess that's about all I have to say at the present moment. Is there any time in your life, Kat, that you would feel comfortable reflecting upon that it was hard, difficult things happening, and that you have come to see the blessing in it and recognize that it happened for a good reason for you?
There's definitely things that have happened in my life that were an extreme hardship, and good things came of them. Good things occurred, and there's definitely things that have happened in my life where I didn't realize until afterwards it was a blessing in disguise. I think when I was in my early 20s and I had my first two sons and I became homeless when my second child was born, I went on a journey, literally driving around Queensland, which is, I think, as big as Texas. It's a really big state. And I was sleeping on couches with a baby. And I was really in a bad place. What came of that was a stable home from an organization called Housing Commission and lifelong friendships because of where I ended up settling and the people that I met afterwards. If I hadn't gone on that journey, I would have never ended up living in Townsville, and I would have never ended up meeting those people, and I would have never had that enrichment from having them in my life, and I continue to have them in my life after 20 years. So that was an extreme hardship. Being homeless is a very difficult thing. Being homeless with a newborn and a toddler is even harder. So getting through that was a massive hardship, but also a very big blessing in disguise because of where I ended up being. I ended up being in a stable home, and not only that, I ended up having good friends around me and making lifelong friends. So even an extreme circumstance can cause you to have a wonderful experience at the end of it. So, you know, one of the things that hardships do is they often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny. So if you have just been plodding along and then suddenly out of the blue, life slaps you in the face and pushes you in a new direction, it may cause you to have an extraordinary life. So it's not always the worst thing that could happen to you. And when you've been through the worst, like David and I've been through some pretty hard times, wouldn't you say, David? You've been through some hardships.
A few here and there.
Yeah, when you've been through hardships, when something challenging occurs to you, you can get through it much easier because you're like, on the scale of sucks, this is probably 6 out of 10 compared to what I've been through before. So I'm just going to head down, bum up and push through it. I know that I can do that because I've been through some really extreme medical events and some extreme chronic illness and acute illness. And when I recently got my full-time job, I ended up coming down with a very debilitating illness that was not caused by any viral or bacterial infection. And that illness did not prevent me from getting up and going to work. And the reason it didn't was because I'd been through so much medical hardship in the past and dragged my sorry butt around looking after my family and having to achieve things, studying and everything else, that having a full-time job with an extreme acute medical situation was not something that would stop me. In fact, it was something that would just distract me from my medical situation. So that's what hardship does. It makes you more resilient. So when you come into a time where you're really challenged, you can step up. And, that says a lot about your character. And I'm sure people who are listening can think about it. And anyone over 30 has definitely been through some sort of hardship and gained resilience. So a meaningful life can, I've got a quote here from Yuval Noah Harari. A meaningful life can be extremely satisfying even in the midst of hardship, whereas a meaningless life is a terrible ordeal no matter how comfortable it is. That's an interesting quote, don't you think, David?
Yes, it is. I was a little distracted. I have to apologize. I didn't catch everything you were saying, but as you were talking in somewhat general terms about other hard times that you'd been through and the meaning that came out of them, I was thinking about one thing that I'd like to mention from my past, because perhaps it will provide some hope to people around recovery from various issues. But I had a very serious active mental illness for 15 years, and it manifested in severe depressions. Some were suicidal, including suicide attempts. Interestingly enough, when I was feeling good, I would drink a lot. And eventually it came to the point where I realized that I was an alcoholic, or so I thought. And I was given another ultimatum by the same partner who'd subsequently given me an ultimatum about my sexual acting out behavior. And he told me he could not live with me if I continued to drink. And so he left. And I was absolutely distraught because at that time we'd been together for 8 years, and I didn't want to lose the relationship. So I realized that I was alcoholic. And I went to Alcoholics Anonymous, and that opened a whole new life for me. Not only did I get through the period of time where I was having intense cravings for alcohol and going through the physical withdrawal process, but I came into a place in my life where I was much more spiritually open. And fortunately, my partner did return to me. But what happened after I stopped drinking was that I had a mania. And for the first time, I was able to receive an accurate diagnosis of my mental health problems, that I had a bipolar disorder. And I was put on medicine that stabilized me, so I never had another horrible depression. And I was going through depressions every year that would last from 3 to 6 months, and six of them were suicidal in nature. So it was a tremendous blessing in disguise, and I had to go through some very difficult things to get there, but it gave me mental stability, it opened me spiritually, and it brought back to me something that I was afraid that I would lose. And so it was a remarkable experience. And I would say for anybody that's struggling from addiction, that's a really hard thing. And it's a hard thing to come to terms with overcoming denial and recognizing that you are an addict of whatever form it may manifest. And there are many, many forms, not just physical, but behavioral types of addictions. And some of those can be even tougher than letting go of substances and alcohol. But there is hope out there. There is recovery out there. Millions of people have been through recovery from various 12-step programs that are all based on the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that program has been around for about 90 years now. And it's saved the lives of millions and millions of people. So if you're in that spot where you're struggling or you think you might have a problem, know that there's help. And know that when you go through the process, you are going to come into a much better life, a life beyond your wildest dreams. That's one of the promises of the program. So I hold that out to you as a carrot, an invitation to a better life. And, maybe knowing someone that's been through this experience and can testify, as I have, to the benefits and the blessings will make you feel a little bit better about going through that tunnel until you can get to the light. So that's just one other thing I wanted to share. I wondered, Kat, as a spirit life coach, what things might you recommend to someone who is struggling and can help find a way to get through the struggle and to the other side so that they can indeed see the blessing?
Excuse me, I have to clean my throat. Firstly, when it comes to a hardship, it's good to lay it all out on the table and to really see what is before you, because you can create a mystification around your hardship. And if you can see the in its entirety and clearly for what it is, that makes everything actually easier, no matter how confronting it is in the beginning, because it's out in the open and it's not hidden. And then from there you can say, well, what things am I most challenged with, and what things have I got that I know I can utilize? And these two things are really, really important. So you can unpack what you're most challenged with, and you can unpack your fears around them, and you can start to see what is a fear founded in absolute truth, and what is a fear founded in fear itself. With the fear that is fear itself, you can then disregard it, because it actually, it has no true effect on your life unless you allow it. Their fear that is founded in truth, you then now need to go through and look at foresight. You need to start to look at consequences. You need to start to look at projecting your mind a couple of months into the future as to what possible outcomes there could be and what possible circumstances could you be met with if you choose to deal with the situation in particular ways. So you would have to decide what particular ways you would want to deal with the situation, and you may have two or three at hand as ideas, and then you start to play it out in your mind. This is all about being in control. What cards do you have to play in this game? Because everything's a process and a game of life, even the most hard things are. And so when do you show your hand? When do you reveal that? And how long do you hold it? Maybe you don't have to reveal it at all, but you've got it there as a backup and it makes you feel confident. So you go with the, once you've played it all out in your mind, you go with the one that has the most logical pathway that opens you up to success. And then you're not driven by fear into a corner in which you have to climb an 8-foot wall to get over the other side. You are driven by confidence, and you have more courage to face the really scary thing in order to walk around that big 8-foot wall and get to the other side where things are a lot easier. So I tend to do this in my head a lot. I've got clairvoyance, so clear vision, and so I can play things out in my mind and project my mind quite easily into outcomes. For somebody else who doesn't have that innate ability, it might be about imagining the consequences step by step and writing them down, or creating a flow chart or something like that. But that, I think, David, is the way that I've played the game of life for over 25 years, and it's what's caused me to have success in the face of extreme discomfort.
I think writing things down is an excellent idea. I have been doing that with regards to everything that needs to be done in my house and the house I'm moving to. There has to be an estate sale. There have to be a lot of repairs on my house. I have to make decisions about what I'm going to keep, what I'm going to sell, what I'm going to throw out. You know, when I reviewed that in my head, it was just overwhelming, and I had to lay it out on paper. A lot of different steps, and at least 4 dozen things to consider, which kind of blew my mind when I wrote it down. But once it was written down, then I had a reference to go to so that I wouldn't need to have things spinning around in my mind. And, I mean, that's probably a different example than you would have when you're going through a crisis type of situation. But I think the premise is the same, to lay it out. I believe in the power of journaling. It's a great way to get in touch with what's going on inside you. I also believe meditation is very useful. It's important, I think, when you're feeling stressed and when life is so unmanageable for you, to take time out to just breathe and just be at one with all that is. And So those are a couple of things I was thinking about.
Yeah, I like that you take time out to be and to breathe. That's so important because that gives you space, that negative space of the time out. It gives your head a chance to process things. So often while you're just sitting and staring, you're allowing your brain to have some process time, some downtime, and then when you have to come back to that higher functioning thinking, it's not as much of a chore as it was. Meditation in general is really good, but if you're going through a hardship, it's so important to spend that time to just zone out. If you don't have the patience or the ability to meditate for whatever reason, like for a long time I couldn't do it because I had the demands of a little one. So doing the zone out or having an activity that I could turn into a meditative activity such as washing up was something that really makes a big difference. So yeah, I totally agree with you there, David. But I thought I might go back to some quotes. No, I'll go on.
Sure. Well, I was just thinking of a few other things, but why don't you go ahead with the quotes?
So here's a quote from Og Mandino. There is no better than adversity. Every defeat, every heartbreak, every loss contains its own seed, its own lesson on how to improve your performance the next time. I think that's an important one because it does. We learn more from our failures and our mistakes than we do from our achievements.
Absolutely.
And then when we do achieve, it's that much sweeter because we know what we've been through to get it. And that's a massive thing. I know when I achieved a qualification in 2017, it took me 2 years to get that qualification. Other people had gone through and done it in 6 or 7 months. I had the worst house move in my entire adult life. I had a major family breakdown. I had illness. I had a newborn and a toddler. I had a relationship breakdown. I had to move into someone else's house and deal with the humility of that, even though those people were very kind and compassionate. It was still a very humbling experience for me. And I continued to focus on that study, and I pushed through everything, including a barrage of phone calls from people who were adversarial. There was a lot that was going on, and I took refuge in my study, and I found it as the one thing that I could do that no one could challenge me doing, and that I was good at it. And I enjoyed it. And so when I got that achievement, everything else then became the thing I was proud of getting over so I could get the achievement. And so therefore no one defeated me, no matter how difficult things were. And so sometimes, I guess, if you're going through a hardship but you've got something there that is a wonderful thing to continue on with, don't let it go in the face of that hardship. Find a way to hold on to it because when you come out the other end and the hardship will not last forever and you have persisted and you make that big achievement come true, the relief and the exhilaration and the pride that you have in yourself for what you've achieved and how far you've come, it's worth the journey. It's totally worth the journey. So, we can't allow ourselves to be defeated. Instead, and I've said this before, the challenge needs to be broken up into chunks. It needs to be seen as a process to get through. And when you see it as a process, you allow yourself the time and space to not have it consume you in a way that would deflect you from any blessings that might come along.
Well, a couple of things that occurred to me earlier when you were talking about meditation. We've talked in the past about how there are many other forms of meditation besides sitting in the silence. Excuse me. There's nothing like a walk in nature or listening to some soothing music. I think play is very important, something where you can just kind of lose yourself in the moment. Awareness is something that can be elusive, but when you remain aware of where you are and can accept whatever feelings may arise within you without judging them as bad, even if they're difficult ones, you can actually walk through the feelings to better feeling place. I think of Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham, talks about the importance of feeling good. And it's not easy, but you can coast through your feelings to better feeling feelings if you don't allow yourself to remain stuck in the ones that don't feel quite as good. I did want to acknowledge that we do have a caller, and thank you for calling into the show. We've talked about a lot of things related to guys and how to deal with difficult situations. And so you may want to go back and listen to the podcast. You haven't been with us that long, so I'm going to just allow you to remain in the queue for now. But I will come to you later. If you want to share, you're welcome to. If you just want to say hello, that's fine too. Kat, what else can you think of that might be helpful to people in terms of dealing with difficult situations and coming to a place where you can recognize the blessing after the fact? Because that's where it seems to come.
Yeah, well, I looked up the blessing in disguise, and its origin is found in James Harvey's hymn, "Since All the Downward Tracks of Time," and it was written in 1746 and first printed in the Reflections of a Flower Garden in A Letter to a Lady, which is a volume of his best-known work, Meditations and Contemplations, 1746 to 1747. And so I'd like to just read the little extract here. "Since all the downward tracks of time, God's watchful eye surveys. Oh, who's so wise to choose our lot or to appoint our ways? Good when he gives, supremely good, nor less when he denies. Even crosses from his sovereign hand, a blessing in disguise. Why should we doubt a father's love, so constant and so kind? To his unerring, gracious will, be every wish resigned." So I think that's an interesting little bit of history. I didn't know that it came from that particular origin and from that little part of his poem, which is from the manuscript Reflection on a Flower Garden. And so he's basically saying the Great Spirit of God seems like it is denying you something. However, it's only stopping you from actually walking into a worse situation than what you've got now and turning you into a better, turning your light into a better direction. So, you know, when a blessing in disguise event does happen, sometimes the penny drops and sometimes it doesn't. It's important to start to think, what am I learning? What am I learning in this? What's the common denominator here? This situation's happened again. Is there a common denominator? Is there a pattern in this? Is there something I should be learning? And when you get to that point, you know, then you can work on things more. For example, I had a couple of failed relationships in my 20s, and they were significant relationships. And I said, what's the common denominator? The common denominator is me. What's the kind of person that I'm attracting? I'm attracting someone on the narcissistic to psychopathic spectrum. What am I going to do about that? I'm going to withdraw from relationships and learn about myself, because sex isn't as important as knowing who I am. And so I made that decision because I did not want to have to go through another relationship with a psychopathic person. And I did not want to have that affect my children. So I chose loneliness. And I, in doing so, I actually became happy. So having come to the hardship of another breakup made me make that decision. It didn't make my life any easier. It's much easier to have a partner in a lot of ways, sharing the load. I had to bear a lot of hardship, but I did not have the hardship of somebody else complicating my life with their own will, and that will being an unreasonable will. So, yeah, you need to say, I think you really have to be realistic. And I know a lot of spiritual people like to have an intuitive approach. I just happen to be somebody who's equal in left and right brain, and that's because of my nature. And so I can't have a singularly intuitive approach. I need to have that logic and reason approach with it, and to allow the intuition to guide me. But when things are grounded, and things are grounded in fact, that makes the intuition clearer, because it's not all up in the air, and you're not taking something and pushing it from a perspective that's only a singular perspective. If you were only to be able to see from up in the air, you wouldn't also be able to see from the ground. It's nice to see both ways. I hope that made sense then. It is 10 to 7 in the morning here, and I've been up since 5. So I hope it made sense.
Well, you know, one thing I was thinking of as you were talking about the relationships you went through in your 20s with people that were not necessarily very nice is that you chose not to remain a victim, that you took positive steps to move forward and come to better understand yourself in so doing. And I think that's really important, because a lot of people stay stuck and continue to experience hardship and don't get to the blessing in disguise till much later, if at all, because they keep playing out the same role, the same tapes over and over, instead of searching for new answers and coming to see that it ultimately does come down to you and the fact that there is a lesson to be learned. And when you can open yourself up and use courage to look within, then that's where you can move beyond that stuckness. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think so. Opening yourself up and using courage to move forward. That's a great quote, David. And it's absolutely right. Absolutely.
Well, we did lose the one caller I was going to come to, and I'm not going to intimidate the new caller who's just been with us for a few minutes. But again, I would invite you to go back and listen to the podcast that's in the archives, and it will be in about 15 minutes after the show, because we've covered a lot of strategies for dealing with difficult situations. We've both shared our own experiences and how we managed to get through them, and perhaps you would find that helpful. Usually at this point in the show, we do a meditation, and I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how I could do that. I might take a stab at it.
Okay.
I invite you to close your eyes or focus on a spot in the room where you can let go and move within. And so take three deep cleansing breaths, breathing in very slowly through your nose. Breathing out through your mouth, and repeat that two more times. You to think of a time in your life, a time where you felt very insecure and anxious and perhaps even fearful. And that fear, if you think about it for a moment, had to do with what was next to come, how you would get through it, and how you did get through it. You did it, and you can congratulate yourself for having gotten to the other side. Now, if that was the first time you went through it, try to think of another time that came later. What you were afraid of. Allow yourself to feel the anxiety in your body as you remember. And then breathe deeply once again. And let it go. And now remember how you got through it. What was the strength that you possessed? What was the lesson? What was the blessing? what was the reason that you went through whatever it was you went through? And perhaps even now, or perhaps recently, you've been through or are going through another difficult situation. Perhaps it's a life transition. Perhaps it feels like life is being unfair to you. Or perhaps, based on your past experience, you've grown to recognize that you will not only survive, but that you will come out thriving and stronger than you had been before. For if you remember those other two situations that you've just thought of, you'll recognize that that strength was always within you. That life was not happening to you, it was happening through you, and you walked through it and got to the other side. And so meditate upon that for just a moment. Meditate upon what was the hidden blessing. And if you've come to that realization, that's wonderful. And if you haven't come to it yet, I invite you after the meditation to just journal for 1 to 5 minutes or more if you feel so inclined. You don't have to have any particular agenda. Just write whatever comes out of you. Feelings, thoughts, what more is there? And so now, if you're feeling complete in the moment, I invite you to open your eyes, look around the room, and be in touch with whatever inner satisfaction you may be feeling, or whatever fear you may still be feeling. Just know that everyone goes through struggles. Hard things happen to everyone, sometimes greater, sometimes smaller, but it all feels relatively the same, because it is not part of what feels good to you when you're in that feel-good place. And I also invite you to consider what the blessings have been for you as you look back and reflect upon your life and look forward to new adventures. And so with that said, Kat, we've completed another show.
We have.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everyone. You can find us on Facebook at The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Hedges. Send us a message with a topic suggestion. And get on over to Blog Talk Radio and put in author David Clark, Clark's with a C, and you can tune in to all of the podcasts there, including David's Friday night show, Different Strokes for Different Folks.
And we will be discussing Going with the Flow next week. Thank you, Area Code 330, for joining us today. And please feel free to tune in any week at the same time. It is 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and it is 6 a.m. in Brisbane, Australia, the following day, Tuesday, right?
Yes, that's right.
Well, okay, and for all the people in the States, I wish you a happy Thanksgiving. And Kat, I wish you well as always.
Okay, you too. Thanks very much for everyone for listening. Goodbye.
Bye, Kat.